Good morning. It's great to see everyone. I must say, I was thoroughly impressed with our ladies last night with a praise dance team. I didn't know my mom had moves like that, which I was super, super impressed. It was a wonderful celebration, so I hope you had a good time as well. We're going to begin with our scripture reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 18 to 20. It says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Shall we pray? Father, we're grateful for this gathering. We are grateful that we are able to be here to worship you as a body of Christ. We commit this morning to you. Lord, may you speak to us through your Spirit. Work in our hearts as we look to transform the church and reimagine what you have called us to be as a church. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning, we continue our two-part series addressing the problems that churches are facing. Last week, we took a broader look at what is happening in terms of the overall landscape facing religious gatherings around the country and tried to understand the big why. Last week, we talked about three primary reasons why people are leaving the church. Number one is apathy, right? There's a lack of interest, enthusiasm, concern, primarily because culture shifts and busy lifestyle and alternative forms of spirituality and negative experiences that's causing an apathy of people leaving the church. Second is consumerism. We talked about that we live in a culture today where individuals and people, we are accustomed to evaluating choices based on personal preferences, convenience, and satisfaction. You know, I'm not a tech guy. I was on an iPhone 5 for years and years and years. Joanna is like, every year that comes out, she is like buying a new phone, right? She was an iPhone 14, I was on 5. Finally, my kids are like, Dad, come on, man, you got to get a new phone. So I walked into the AT&T store, finally, much convincing, I walked into an AT&T store and presented my dinosaur to them, and they're like, you know, sir, that's great. Would you like a white? Would you like a silver? Would you like a red or a purple or a blue phone? I'm like, I just want a phone, man. Just give me, I don't care. You know, it's like choices, right? I mean, that's what it's all about today, right? You know, we talked about the In-N-Out Burger versus Cheesecake Factory menu. I mean, people love choices. And that is the same way that we approach church, unfortunately, these days, right? People are approaching church attendance as consumers seeking to be entertained or an experience that meets their individual needs and preferences. The third, we talked about competition as a reason why people are leaving the church. The growth of podcasts and streaming, the growth of digital technology, while this can offer convenience and flexibility for some, it has also contributed to the decline of physical attendance in churches as people have opted for virtual online forms of engagement. Today, we will examine how we should respond to these challenges facing the church and how we can become a church after God's own heart. As I mentioned last week, for the last 15 years, my family and I lived in the Bay Area, and we've had the opportunity to experience church in many different kinds. We have attended large, large churches where thousands of members in gorgeous facilities, you know, they have 6 or 7 services a weekend, starting with Saturday night, and incredible worship that moves you very deeply. We have attended smaller community churches that has been the bedrocks of communities, Great people, strong, vibrant youth ministry that provided the spiritual foundation for my boys in particular, with great leadership, and that made you feel good every Sunday when you leave. I said, oh man, that's great. I really felt good leaving the church every Sunday. We have attended startup churches, right? And startup churches with a clear vision of serving and reaching the community, incredible pastors that's committed to the people, that are welcoming, great for new Christians, great for unbelievers as their first experience to church. But there was something oddly unsatisfying in all these church experiences. That's why we have moved around so much in the 15 years trying to find the right fit. I believe there's a church for everyone. It's just for my wife and I, there was some criteria that were important to us. How do people decide to attend church these days, right? Many people make this decision based on the size of the church. If the church is small, people think you must not be doing something right. Although I must clarify that there are some correlations probably between church attendance and the health of the church, but bigger doesn't always mean better. A great church is not defined by the size, the number of services, the beauties of the building, or the music, or the number of programs that a church offers. While there's nothing wrong with a feel-good message and phenomenal music and fabulous programs and gorgeous facilities, all of that is great, but the danger is that a church can do all of these things and still not be a church after God's heart. Pastor David Jeremiah recently warned that many U.S. churches today have forgotten their purpose. He says that churches are becoming entertainment-driven social organizations, eager to blend in with secular culture instead of focusing on biblical discipleship. Today, we're in a world where secular progressivism seeks to redefine scripture to fit human standards. A godly church, however, must stand firm on its commitment to sound biblical teaching. It does not shy away from the truth, even when it's countercultural or unpopular. Church is not a popularity contest. As a follower of Christ, we are called to be light in the darkness and holding fast to the unchanging truth of God's word. I pondered about this message quite a bit, and because I really believe that in most churches across America today, you will not hear a message like this, because a message like this requires some soul searching and requires also perhaps some doubts about where you're attending church. People don't like that because it impacts butts and bucks, right? We talked about that last week. People in the seats and the money in the offering box. They don't want to create any doubt that this is the church that they should be. However, I truly believe if we want to be a church after God's heart, if we want to experience true transformation, if we need to reimagine what church could be, we must invite these conversations, and these conversations are necessary. Last week, we ended the sermon by talking about the trends that we are seeing and how people are migrating and seeking from their church experience, the big why, right? This is where we will start today, to begin to reimagine what church could look like, a church after God's heart. Brother and sister, I'm going to challenge you something this morning. I'm going to challenge you to think beyond tradition. Challenge to go beyond what you know and how you have experienced church in the past. And break away from "we have always done it this way" thinking. We ended our sermon last week with 5 points, and that's where we will start. Number one, a church that's after God's own heart must have genuine worship. Genuine worship. In our pursuit for authentic worship experience, the criteria for a successful church transcends mere denomination labels. We are a small denominational church, but our experience must transcend the denomination label. What truly distinguishes a thriving church is her unwavering commitment to the biblical truth. They serve as light and hope and offering more than just a Sunday service. A church provides tangible solutions to life's challenges for the people and firmly grounded in the unshakable authority of Scripture. Also, we must understand that worship is not confined to ritualistic routines, but is in a dynamic encounter with the living God. I'm going to challenge something right now. First controversial thing that I'm going to say this morning. I'm going to give you this example. Do you think God really cares if you stand or sit down when you sing and worship? Do you? Sit down when you listen to the word. Sit down when you, or stand when you sing. Sit down when you listen to the word. Stand for the reading of the scriptures. Sit down when you pray, and so on and so on and so on. Right? We see that a lot in churches. Right? We do that. Right? I'm gonna give you four passages in the Bible that talks about posture and how we should approach worship. First is in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. I'm gonna read it. Philippians 2, 10 through 11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That every tongue acknowledges that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Second, Ephesians 5, 19. Paul says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. John 4, 23 through 24. John 4, 23 to 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshiper will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks in spirit and truth. God is spirit, and his worshiper must worship the spirit in truth. Last passage, Matthew 15, 8. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. What are they saying? What do these verses have in common? These four verses illustrate that while outward posture is important in worship, it comes in different forms. True worship must be accompanied by genuine sincerity and reverence from the heart. True worship involves both external reverence and internal devotion, where posture of the body reflects the posture of the heart before God. How many of you have ever been to a black church in the South? I have. It is completely different. They don't care if you stand, you sit. Half the time, most people are standing anyway, right? Your preacher, your not delivering the right message, you're gonna hear. But you are hitting the note, you are speaking in the spirit, you're gonna hear that too. Amen. Way to go. Preach it, brother. I've attended churches in Atlanta and Louisiana. I mean, boy, woo. God doesn't care if you sit or stand, right? As the spirit leads. There's no rules. People stand God is not concerned if you stand or kneel or bow and while you worship. He desires his people to worship from their innermost beings, right? However the Spirit moves you, that draws you into a deeper experience with God, right? That is ultimately what worship is. True worship extends beyond great music and eloquent sermons. It also serves as a gateway to Spirit-filled community where individuals are invited into a transformative relationship with Christ. To be a church after God's heart, genuine worship must include meaningful engagement with the scripture as well, allowing the truth to shape the worship practices in their daily lives. Ultimately, worship isn't about creating an emotional experience, it's about encountering the living God in a way that transforms the hearts and the lives of people. It is about fostering a community where individuals can experience the love and grace and the power of Jesus Christ in a tangible and life-changing way. Genuine worship. Point number two. To be a church after God's own heart, we must move beyond traditions to authenticity. We must move beyond traditions to authenticity. We talked a little bit about this last week, that the current landscape of spirituality and faith reveals significant shifts towards people's desire for authenticity. A departure from rigid traditions, many in the denominational churches, towards a more personal and genuine encounter with God. This trend reflects a deep longing within individuals who experience faith in a way that resonates with their innermost being and addresses their deepest needs. You know, as people navigate their spiritual journey, they are increasingly asking the questions that go beyond surface-level religious practices. They yearn to know they're truly being ministered to when they come to church, if they are genuinely loved and cared for within their faith community. They seek to understand if they belong and if their spiritual growth is nurtured and encouraged in meaningful ways. These questions often underscores a fundamental desire for authenticity in faith, a longing to move beyond mere adherence to institutional legacies and rituals and routines. Instead, individuals are seeking intimate and personal connections with God that transcends religious formalities and external appearances. In this quest for authenticity, people are drawn to communities and practices that resonate with their innermost convictions and spiritual experiences. People are asking the question, there's got to be more to church than this. There's got to be more to church than this. Last week I mentioned my friend. Someone along with his wife attended a denominational Chinese church here in the area, very similar to ours, for over 25 years. He says that church has become more of a routine and a duty versus a place of worship. He said to me that we stopped going to church, Byron. He says we just needed a break to figure out what does it all really mean to be a Christian. He says, for 25 years, I showed up to church every Sunday. We sat in service. We served. We taught Sunday school. We have lunch and had some small talks with people, and we leave. Often, we are asked to serve some more. And very rarely do we ever hear any words of appreciation. We then come back and do it all again next Sunday. He said to me, Byron, I feel spiritually dead inside. That church has become stale, has become mundane. It has become an obligation and a duty rather than a relationship with God. Brother and sister, are you listening here? Do you resonate with that story at all? If this has become your church experience, if this is what going to church is all about, we are doing it all wrong. We are absolutely doing it all wrong. We all desire a faith that is alive and relevant to our lives. and that addresses our pain, our doubt, and fear, and aspirations in a genuine and meaningful manner. Churches and faith communities are called to embrace authenticity, creating space where people can explore their and deepen their faith in a way that is real and transformative. Churches must move beyond mere adherence to tradition and instead of fostering an environment that cultivate authenticity, but cultivate an environment that cultivate, create an environment that cultivates authenticity and encounter with God, where people feel loved and accepted and where there's growth. And you know, this past Monday, I invited this friend who I just mentioned earlier. I was invited actually by my best friend. And so I invited this friend to attend a men's group on a Monday night, kind of an odd night for a men's group. And it was at somebody's house in Chino Hills. And there were about 25 men from their 20s all the way up to in their 60s. They're all from different churches from all over the area. Most people didn't even know each other, and we just gather around this house and gather around a fireplace, and we begin to sing, and we begin to share, and begin to talk, and to read the Bible. Boy, the things that came out of those conversations was amazing. I have not heard these genuine, transparent conversations coming out of men in years. The pain, the challenges, the sin, how God is dealing with their sin in their lives at that moment, and what God is doing in their lives. The tears, the prayers that went on was real, man. I mean, I was so moved by that. And I said to myself, this is amazing. And when we left, my friend who I mentioned earlier said to me, he says, Byron, that is more church to me than anything else I have experienced in the last 25 years. I felt the love of God and the Spirit of God in my heart. That is church, he said. The third point, a church after God's heart must have a commitment to the Great Commission. A commitment to the Great Commission. Last week, we talked about this troubling trend, right, in churches in America, that only 6-7% of the growth come from new believers, right? Meaning new members coming to know the Lord as Savior. 93-94% of church growth today in America comes from transfer growth, which means that we are simply recycling church members from one church or another. We talked about the importance of church having this outward posture, right? Outward posture. What is an outward posture? An outward posture for a church refers to its orientation and focus beyond its internal affairs and members towards the needs and concerns of a wider community in the world. It entails a mindset of outreach, service, and mission, where the church is actively seeking to engage and impact the surrounding community through acts of compassion, service, and evangelism. This posture emphasizes the church's role as light in darkness, a witness to the world, and a servant to others, reflecting the love and compassion of Christ in tangible ways beyond our four walls. At the heart of the Christian faith lies the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18-20. It is a mandate given by Jesus to his followers to go and make disciples of all the nations. This commission serves as a guiding principle for a mission and purpose-driven church. As we reflect on Matthew 28:18-20, the church has three primary responsibilities: to share the gospel, to love on one another, and to disciple believers and to disciple believers and sending them out. However, it is important to recognize that true success in fulfilling this command is not measured by numbers alone. We sometimes measure that purely by numbers. Boy, I tell you, I grew up in a, Campus Crusade, right? College, and which I truly are grateful for the foundation of solid biblical scripture about the Great Commission. However, I do have problems now looking back in the days where they send you out into, you're at a conference, they send you out and to witness to the community, and when you come back and they have a evening service, they pop up these numbers and say, oh, so many people came to know the Lord. Now looking back, I have to wonder how many people of those people genuinely really came to know the Lord, or is just flashing some numbers that make people feel good about what they did that afternoon. Right? So it's not solely about numbers. Although growth in numbers in church is not inherently wrong, it is not the sole indicator of a thriving and faithful church. Genuine growth is defined by the Great Commission, is evident by commitment to outward outreach, a dedication to reach beyond the confines of the church walls and actively engaging with the world around us. A great example of this is a church that we attended in the Bay Area for a few years, quite a few years actually, which helped shape the spiritual foundations of service for my kids. Now, this church every year sends 80 people for 10 days during the summer to the Navajo Nations, the Native American tribe in Arizona. All three of my kids had the privilege to participate in this for several years. So you have high school kids, college kids, young adults, mom and dads, and families from this church. They will literally take a 10-hour journey caravanning to Arizona. When they get to the Navajo Nations, the tribe, when they get there, each of them will be assigned to a team. Right? Some will be involved in construction. Some will be tutoring. Some will be doing vacation Bible school. Some will be running summer programs for the kids, including a basketball camp. But I think you can imagine what my boys are doing, what they were responsible for, right? Some are responsible for cooking meals. So everyone in 10 days will be involved in some type of service project while teaching the Bible and sharing the gospel, and even have performances such as plays and worships and so forth. Each of the team members also lived in the home of one of the native Navajo families, where they were able to develop deep relationship with the families. It's a beautiful act of service, right? Not only did they learn to serve, to love, to give of themselves unconditionally, they got to experience what it means to allow God to use them in a way they have never imagined. An outward posture. See, through acts of compassion and service and proclaiming the gospel, church becomes a beacon of hope and a light to the world, desperately needing love and being cared for. This outward focus is about proclaiming the goodness of God and inviting others into transformative relationship with Jesus, offering hope, healing, and salvation to all who are willing to receive it. In essence, the Great Commission, the commitment to Great Commission, is a call to action, right? Every church is called to do this. A call to embody the love and compassion of Christ in tangible ways, both locally and globally. It is a reminder that the church exists not for its own sake, but for the sake of the world. to be a living testimony to the transformative power of God's grace and actively participate in the advancement of his kingdom on earth. Fourth point, for a church to be at the heart of God, we must be innovative and creative. Innovation and creativity is also required. In Romans 12:2, the scripture says, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. It is important that we need to reimagine church beyond these four walls. How do we live out the Great Commission in our work, in our sphere of influences, in our community, and those we work with, those we serve? The spirit of innovation can breathe new life into a church and foster a sense of excitement, curiosity, and openness within the faith community. Sunday is important. By what this church only exists on Sundays for many churches, right? The concept of church is not confined to a physical building or a traditional structure. Rather, it encompasses a dynamic and diverse body of Christ, each and every one of us, a living and breathing organism that extends far beyond the walls of the sanctuary. In recognizing this, churches are called to embrace innovation and creativity as essential components of their ministry. As I mentioned earlier, as a family, we attended quite a few churches during our 15 years in the Bay Area. As we look back, some of the most meaningful experiences of church for us were not on Sundays. Churches can take forms in different ways, right? Let me give you an example. When Joanna, my wife, started teaching at a middle school up there in 2009, there were no Christian club at the middle school. So she started a Christian club, and she called it the Fish Club. Kind of a cute name, the Fish Club. Now, for those of you who don't know, the San Francisco Bay Area, only 4%, 4% of the entire population in the San Francisco Bay Area claims to be in church. It is the single most geographically unchurched people in the entire United States. In the community where we lived, over 60% of the populations are immigrants from India, which means they belong to the Hindu faith. Majority of them, right? So starting a Christian club in a middle school campus was a pretty daunting task, right? The club started in 2009 with a few students, but by year two and year after, the club grew to more than 30 to 40 kids with volunteers, parents, and other teachers helping out. They held weekly gatherings, Bible studies, they invited guest speakers, they share the gospel. My wife is a home ec teacher, so they always had food. So she always made extra cookies and cakes for the students, and the students loved it. They always wanted to come, right? That was kind of an in for them. And so food fun. They also did service projects. They went out, you know, every month, went out to the flagpole and prayed for the school. And eventually, many of them came to know Jesus, and he brought them to church. I want to show you a video, and this is one of the kids that was, you'll see what I mean.
Jesus was his son, but I was sort of like, oh, hey, you know God? I'm like, oh, yeah, he's cool, you know? But I never prayed, read the Bible, or really lived about what for God wanted. It wasn't until 8th grade where I started to learn more about God. As one day at school, I saw a little sign that said, Fish Club, September 17th, posted on the wall. I realized it was with my favorite teacher, Mrs. Chung. So I went to Fish Club, and I really liked it. And the snacks, too, of course. I found the messages delivered in Fish Club were truly life-changing for me. From those lessons, I know that it's now something I want to do for myself. To be baptized and to make my commitment to God and Jesus knows the world. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Aiden.
Thank you, Bonnie.
That was Colton, one of the kids that attended Fish Club with Joanna. Came to know Jesus and was baptized at Easttown, right? You saw Clint there on the video. And fortunately, his parents are not super excited about him going to church on Sunday. So every Sunday morning, he rides his bike to church by himself. Committed, right? And just a beautiful picture of what church was meant for us. We just imagine church differently. To me, Fish Club was church for us, for those kids, because those kids will never, ever, most likely, step into a church. But to them, that was a gathering, right? An opportunity to experience God, to experience love, to experience acceptance. Joanna also leads a Bible study. She's been doing this probably for about 15 years, right? Every week, she leads a Bible study of women and friends, and people invite them, and they go online and do an hour and a half of Bible study. It's incredible because I watch this, because I know some of the women who attend. Some of them will never, ever step foot in a church. They've had negative experience. They have challenges in terms of their experiences with organized religion. They will never step into a church. But because of Joanna, they will go online and they will spend an hour and a half with other women and study the Bible. To me, that is church, right? Because most of those women will never step foot in a church. As a matter of fact, one of the women that was most opposed to coming to church actually came to church one day, right? It's about a few months ago. I actually sat here. So it was amazing. I coached basketball when I was up in the Bay Area because my boys played basketball, and I volunteered my time after work and coached high school basketball. And I did that for 12, 13 years. And one of the things that we did, because I have this reputation of being a good cook, and so every Sunday morning, I would invite my basketball teams and kids and ask my boys to invite their friends to our church. I will make a huge breakfast every Sunday morning. What the understanding is, after breakfast, we're taking you to church, right? So they will all come. These are kids from all different faith and no faith at all, but they will come because Coach Byron is cooking breakfast. They're going to come. And they come. And we have a great breakfast, and then we will take them all to church. It was those experiences that we've had, to me, it's church. That's what church is all about. It's not confined to these four walls, but it's the things that we're doing in the community, the outreach, and the things that we're doing on a daily basis with our sphere of influence that's touching lives and impacting people, and ultimately seeing people like Colton coming to know Jesus as Lord. This is church to us, right? It started with where we live and where we work and where we serve and where we build community, being a light and salt to the world. And God, the world that God has placed us in, and ultimately seeing people coming to know Jesus and eventually coming to church. So innovation and community engagement involves finding creative ways to connect and serve the needs of the local community. This might involve launching new outreach activities, partnering with local organizations, or simply starting where you live and work. This video that you saw was a startup church called Easttown, and we were there from the very beginning until we left. They were a extension of a very large mega church out of Michigan, and they felt God's calling to brought the husband and wife or pastors to come out to the Bay Area to start a church. But what happened was interesting, and you listen to their story, is that for the first year, instead of getting a building or renting a building and starting a church, for the first year, they didn't do that. They basically immersed themselves into the community and began to really understand the community, know the community, develop deep relationship within the community. And so once they started a year ago, there was a group of people, the relationship, and that group of startup people was amazing, because some were even non-Christians that came because they just loved the community, right? And they were able to come, and ultimately seeing many of them come to know Jesus as a result of it, right? So it is about demonstrating the love of God and community and innovating in a different way to help people see church differently. By reimagining what church is and what church can be, oftentimes will breathe new life into the church and amplify our impact in society and allow the church to remain relevant and effective in reaching people with the message of the gospel. Okay, the last point is a church after God's own heart is a church that is born of love. A church that loves. When we first came back here, moved back about a year and a half ago, for the first 4 or 5 months, we went to, Joy and I visited different churches and looking to find a home church. And I remember Joanna clearly, one of her famous phrases when we visit some churches, and she will come out and she says, I don't like that church because it feels like a holy huddle. It feels like a holy huddle that she says, I don't like it. Anybody know what holy huddle means? Yeah. Most of you probably never even heard that before. A holy huddle is the opposite, complete opposite of the outward focus. It refers to a situation where a church community becomes so inwardly focused, where they're primarily concerned about their own members and activities and neglecting its mission to reach out and engage and minister to the needs of those outside of the four walls. So it's the inward focus versus the outward focus, right? As ever, is very evident. So a church that's born out of love do not participate in this holy huddle. We should have, again, an outward focus, not an inward focus. God desires us as a church to actively reach out and care for and serve those around us. Why? Because Bible paints a picture of the glorious return of the King to the throne. The king will say to those to his right, enter you who are blessed by my father. Take what is coming to you in this kingdom. It has been ready for you since the foundation of the world. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew 25. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me. In Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus says that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. This is the greatest commandment. And the second is that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the foundation for every healthy church. To love Jesus and to love people. A commitment to make loving others a tenet of this church. Brothers and sisters, it is the love of God that created this world. It is the love of God that Jesus came. It is the love of God that he lived and served and taught and suffered and died. The entire Bible is a love story of God's unwavering plan to reconcile sinful men to a just God. It is a love story. And so as a church, we are called to love. We are called to transform the love of God through service, following the footsteps of Jesus. In Mark 10:45, Jesus declares that he came not to serve, that he came not to be served, but to serve and call his followers to do likewise. The type of Jesus service that Jesus is speaking of is primarily outward. It's not driven by obligation, duty, or guilt, or a desire for recognition, but by a genuine love for others and a desire to see God's kingdom advanced. It is seen in acts of kindness, generosity, compassion. As believers, we humbly serve those in need and work towards the transformation of our world. Whether it is feeding the hungry or caring for the sick or advocating for the marginalized, a great church is actively engaged in meeting the physical needs of the people. I've told this story before, and I'm going to say it again because it's so relevant to what we're talking about here, is that my cousin was a dentist in the Washington State area of Vancouver, Washington. He, along with his wife and other dentists, volunteers their time every month to pay attention to the needs of the people experiencing homelessness, gathering under a bridge in Vancouver, Washington. For years that this Christian organization, this ministry, has shown up every Friday night and to minister to the needs of men, women, children. In addition to a hot meal, they give them haircuts, a shave, and even dental work. That's where my cousin came in, right? Free dental work. Some of the team members also washes the homeless people's feet. There was a writer for USA Today who was there actually reporting on this, and he said he was stunned. He was stunned by the display, calling it one of the most audacious acts of compassion and humility that I have ever witnessed. He says this group of society's outcasts had their bare feet immersed in warm water, scrubbed, dried, powdered, and placed in clean socks. He commented on the significance of foot washing. He says, washing someone's feet is an act performed while you're kneeling. Given the washer's position and the unpleasant appearance and smell of a homeless person's feet, it is hard to imagine an act that's more loving and humbling. In preparation for this outreach, the leader of this ministry will say these words every time. He says, "When you go out tonight, I want you to look for Jesus. You might see him in the eye of a drunken person, a homeless person, an abandoned child. We're just out here to love on them and give them the attention that Christ will give them, that they might experience God's love tonight." Brothers and sisters, the foundation of a great church grows out of love. How we pay attention and care for one another so people can experience the love of God is a first step to a church after God's own heart. Do not ever let anyone come to church without making them feel special, and never let them feel neglected and leave. Boy, I have so many of those experiences when I walked into church, when I leave and nobody talks to you. It's like, this is what church is supposed to be? In our scripture passage this morning in Matthew 7:18-20, it says a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. As a church, we can associate with this passage when the importance of authenticity and sincerity of our worship. In our practices as a church, just as a good tree produces good fruit, a church should produce good fruit in our lives and in communities. It is not enough for us to just go through the motion of doing church. I don't want to do church anymore. True worship should result in transformed hearts and lives, leading to spiritual growth, acts of kindness, compassion, and service that reflects the love of God. Brothers and sisters, by examining the fruit of our worship, how it impacts our lives and the lives of those around us, we can discern whether our church is on the right track of pleasing God. In conclusion, I want to encourage all of us that as we embark this journey to become a church after God's own heart, let us be inspired by the incredible potential within each and every one of us to make a difference in the world. Let us embrace the challenge of reimagining what church can be with innovation, authenticity, and a deep commitment to love and serve others. Brothers and sisters, we are not alone in this endeavor. God goes before us, empowering and equipping us with His Holy Spirit to accomplish His purpose. So let us press forward with courage and determination, knowing that as we step out in faith, that God will guide our steps and use us to bring about His kingdom on earth. And let us be a church after God's own heart. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we sit here today, I believe that none of us here want to just do church on Sundays. We all want our lives. We want this church community to count. We want to be a difference. We want to be a church that loves. We want to be a church that actively pursues and obeys the Great Commission. We want to be a church that serves. But Father, however you want to bless us, Father, we want to be obedient to that. But more importantly, we want to be a church after your own heart. So open our hearts and minds and help us reimagine what church could be beyond these four walls, Lord. Give us the wisdom, Lord, to pursue your heart deeply, lovingly, each day, more and more each day. In your name we pray. Amen.